hours ago, Allied Air Forces began an attack on military targets in Iraq and Kuwait.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
In this present crisis, government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
This is In the News.
Welcome to In the News on Holy Family Radio, where we bring you the news with a Catholic perspective. And I am your host, Eleanor Rossman. I'm so excited because Father Bill Weary is in studio.
I just love doing this show, and I love doing it in the studio. So thank you.
It's so fun because normally we do this on something called Skype, yes. Where I think I see
something
you,
always
but you
goes
don't
wrong.
See me. Me and I are like the most techno-challenged people on the planet. And it's only by the grace of God that this show gets on the air, and our wonderful Ian at the station who puts it all together for us. Father, let's talk about, first of all, I want to say something, novena alert, because when this program airs, it'll be Holy Thursday, and the novena for Divine Mercy starts on Good Friday, and you can just Google that, novena of Divine Mercy. It's beautiful, and of course, that precedes the Feast of Divine Mercy, which is the Sunday after Easter, April 28th. Again, that novena begins Good Friday, and I want to talk about St. Faustina. This was our Lord spoke to her, gave her this charism, and Pope St. John Paul II is the one that actually brought it to fruition, right?
And that's correct. Canonized her and instituted the feast day.
Absolutely. She said the secret is constant prayer.
Amen.
We learned from her diary, she does have a book, it's called The Diary, of all, you know, what Jesus and her talked about all the time, that she brought everything to the Lord in prayer, then listened to him and received all that he wanted to tell her. In this way, St. Faustina was led day by day and even moment by moment into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, the source of her happiness. So she said, the Lord is offering each of us a deep, intimate relationship with him. The key is to set aside some time every day for prayer, cultivating silence and solitude so that we can be alone with the Lord. Father, I think I'm just going to speak because I think I'm not the only one out there. We think, oh, commitment to set aside time every day for prayer. You mean outside of the rosary, outside of that? I mean, it's we're talking about even 5 minutes of being alone with the Lord just to say, I love you, I thank you. Is that what we're talking about here?
Last weekend at my parish, I challenged everybody to just add 5 minutes to their current prayer time. I said, whatever you're doing, whatever your prayer routine is right now, just add 5 minutes. And then maybe after a few months, you'll add 5 minutes more and you'll be further anointed and blessed. And then add 5 minutes after that, maybe a year down the road. And prayer is so key. And I find myself in confession and in the pulpit talking about morning prayer, night prayer. And then I advocate and I challenge a third time in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. I guess it would be a second time, coming home from work, coming home from school, 10 minutes reading the Bible. But what I did this past weekend is just encourage that 5 minutes extra, mm-hmm. as a way of incentivizing more prayer in people's lives. All ships rise in the tide in a parish and in a family if everybody is praying.
Yeah, that's a good picture to have in your head.
And the thing about Sister Faustina, people should know, is, and you probably know this, that that diary was suppressed for a while.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it was for many decades. And it seemed like she was a failure because our Lord had asked her, told her to promulgate this message.
Right.
And it was considered, I think due to mistranslations from the original Polish, mm-hmm. it was considered to be, by Vatican experts, theologically off base. Maybe an overemphasis on mercy, and it seemed out of whack a little bit. And then there was a theologian, Cardinal Karol Wojtyła, Archbishop of Krakow, who said, let's take another look at this.
Yeah.
And he rehabilitated it. Mm-hmm. And he was, of course, Pope St. John Paul II, the future pope, and who then and that all went through before he became pope, and the revival of the diary and of her message. And then he, as I said, canonized her and instituted the feast, which was the request of our Lord.
remind our listeners, Father, what exactly this entails. Why is this different than going to confession anytime? Because you receive a plenary indulgence.
Yes.
Which means that all of your, I always say, like, all of the...
temporal punishment due to forgiven... Okay. Temporal punishment due to forgiven sin.
Yeah, you're forgiven sin, but, you know, it's like...
Eliminated.
Yeah, all the time, that's the time you would spend... cleaning up shop, right?
Yeah.
Is eliminated. So how is this Feast of Divine Mercy somehow significant? I don't want to say more significant, but can you just nuance that a little bit? Like,
well, first of all, it's very important to Christ, who appeared to Sister Faustina on multiple occasions. And it's invitatory. It's an invitation to very similar to the Sacred Heart apparitions of the 1600s of St. Margaret Mary Alacoque.
So it's a devotion.
It is a devotion. That's correct. And, you know, as a devotion, we can say it's optional, but my goodness gracious, why would you not want to take advantage of this, along with the other devotions? Mm-hmm. And the significance of it is just our Lord's great love for you and me, and that that message of mercy. And to put it in everyday terms, cutting us a break. He's anxious to do that, mm-hmm. that God is not out to get us.
Yeah.
So many Christians walk around, and maybe our Lord sensed this, looking at society of our day. These mm-hmm. were the 1920s, the apparitions. And maybe he sensed that. People walking around thinking God's out to get me. And he's really not. Mm-hmm. God's on our side. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to get to heaven.
Yeah.
And he's anxious to see us there. And he's going to do everything he can to get us there.
Right.
And he's going to shower graces
upon us. We're
the
ones that fight against him.
We are the ones that put up the obstacles and the obstructions. And this devotion is a way of taking, dismantling those blockades in us and inspiring us. I say it's the largesse of God. It's the cream on the top of the coffee.
It's that extra.
It's that, you know, Jesus could have said after the resurrection, that's it. You know, mm-hmm. I rose from the dead.
Right.
And there are certain Christians who say that are very suspicious of apparitions and signs and all that. God could have said, my son's death and resurrection is plenty. Mm-hmm. That's all you need. And you got the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But he's gone beyond that.
Mm-hmm. So, Father, for those listening who would like to get this incredible gift of divine mercy, just to go to reiterate, to go to confession. That
confession.
Doesn't mean it doesn't have to be that day, because a lot of parishes, it's a Sunday.
It can be, you know, a week or two before.
A week or two before. Don't get too hung up on that.
Right.
Receiving Holy Communion, which you would do anyway because you're going to Mass on Sunday.
Precisely.
Praying for the Holy Father, which I always interpret that as to be in Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be.
That's fine.
Okay. And to spend, you know, an hour
before
the Blessed Sacrament. Again, ideally between
3 and 4.
3 and 4. But if you can't anytime during that day.
Sure.
And even if the church is closed, if the chapel's open, you know, these are kind of just housekeeping rules. But
and then people do get hung up. We're talking about this, about the detachment from all sin, mortal and venial. And I encourage people not to get stressed out about that. Mm-hmm. I just say a prayer to God, Lord, I hereby, declare myself detached from all sin, mortal and venial.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And let's see if, you know, run that up a flagpole and see if it flies.
Yeah. And I think I always say, like, if you're planning on meeting with your adulterous boyfriend next week, that's the sin of presumption.
That's correct.
Right.
Yeah.
So
precisely.
Because we all struggle, no matter what. I mean, we all have weaknesses.
There's a firm purpose with confession. See, for the plenary indulgence to be effective, you have to make a valid confession, which includes firm purpose of amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you have to really intend not to continue committing the sin. Mm-hmm. It can be an issue sometimes with you made allusion to it, cohabitating couples that are continuing to cohabitate. It's a lack of firm purpose of amendment there.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you got to, you know,
you got to change.
You got to change.
You got to stop this. You got to stop the sin,
right,
or at least make a firm resolution to stop that sin.
Yeah. And it's a challenge, but it's always doable. Father, there's a lot of pro-life stuff to talk about that's going on all around the country. And we're just almost ready to stop our after our first segment. But I just do want to mention about the movie Unplanned.
I saw it.
There. Did you see
it? Oh, I saw it.
Oh, what do you say
to people? It was wonderful. Please go see it, by all means.
It's at regular theaters, is it? It's not just at, like, you know, your parish.
That's correct. Okay. I don't know what theaters. You have to check the listings. Get on, you know, Google it and find out. But it is absolutely very well done.
If somebody's post-abortive, somebody had an abortion, are they going to be able to handle?
If somebody is post-abortive.
And even confess the sin. Do you think that...
I think it would vary from person to person. Mm-hmm. And it could be various reactions to the movie. I would hope that it would prompt, you know, drive you to your knees, so to speak, and where the person would realize what they've done in a good way, mm-hmm. in a healthy way. She went on to have, she's got 8 children now, Abby Johnson.
Does she really?
Yeah, I believe so, yes.
Oh my goodness, I had no idea.
So there's that very positive outcome.
It would probably keep you from having a second abortion.
Yes, that's a good point.
Okay.
That I would agree with.
Some struggles with seeing, because they do up front show you.
They show the sonogram of the ultrasound and the baby being evacuated on the image of the screen. And then the camera switches to the beaker with the blood going into. I hope I'm not giving too much away or driving people away. But that is pretty graphic, and that's what got it the R rating, as well as the when she took the pill and the abortion pill. And boy, that is a real revelation, is it not? What that pill does.
Well, you know, only what I've read it, you know, but it's probably good to see.
It is.
Because people have their ideas of, like, what can happen.
She was hemorrhaging and bleeding, and that was pretty in your face there in the movie. But I think it's tolerable. I did not want to get up and walk out. I don't know how other people would react to that. But the story is what's really amazing, just her story of conversion.
So the character study, the story of
her
conversion, it's more about that. You're not going to go into the theater seeing 10 abortions in a row or something
like that.
If you're squeamish. But remember this, you know, if you think, well, I can't bring my 15-year-old to see this or whatever. Hey, they can go get their ears pierced without telling you, or go do this, that, and the other thing. So even though it's got that R rating, you could bring your teenage.
I think you could. I think teenagers could handle it. And that brings up, too, around the United States, there's a lot of pro-life legislation being proposed now, emboldened by the new Supreme Court. And there are consent laws being proposed in state legislators.
Father, I'm going to stop right now just because we have to take a break. We come back, we're going to talk more about what's happening in pro-life and in the news. Stay tuned.
This is Holy Family Radio Manager Dan Steele. I want to thank you for listening to Holy Family Radio podcasts and broadcasts. Whether it's over the air at 720 on your AM dial or online streaming at 720WHYF.com. We appreciate your involvement in Central Pennsylvania's only Catholic radio station. But I must share with you, if we are to keep our ministry growing in the Harrisburg Diocese, we really need your help. We are a totally listener-supported nonprofit 501c3, and I'm asking you to prayerfully consider donating any amount you can to help us continue our work in spreading God's Word. Please go to our website at 720WHYF.com. Click on the donate button and follow the instructions. And thank you for helping to keep us on the air, and may God bless you.
We are back with In the News with Father Bill Weary in studio. I like to say I'm so happy he's here. And I think in our second segment, Father, I probably should get to some kind of news article. So I'm going to start with this one. And this is a local story, I say, because it's affiliated with Villanova University, which our listeners probably know is a Catholic college. They might know more about their basketball team. But this column that was written published in the Wall Street Journal, Professors Sheehan and James Wilson published an article that says a mole hunt for diversity bias at Villanova. And they wrote that the administration has a new diversity and inclusion questions, a few of them actually, that have been added to course and teaching evaluations. Now, I remember when I was in college, students were often passed these questionnaires out after a course was finished where you would evaluate your professor
right.
and how well they taught the class. Well, this is a little bit different because what's happening now is the students are going to be asked whether the professor demonstrates cultural awareness, which is in quotes, and also in quotes, environment free of bias. Well, you know, you really can't fire a professor for being a conservative, but you can if they create a hostile work environment. So I see red flags here, Father.
I do too. Very much so. I mean, the idea, I'm old-fashioned, the idea of the professor to convey the content of the course, whether it's history or physics or math. And for so many of those courses, I mean, you're trying to convey the facts. And how do you get cultural sensitivity in on that? And I just see it as a LGBT sort of thing, a gender bender sort of advocacy that the professors are going to have to conform to in the content of their courses. And it's going to put tremendous pressure and stress on them. And if they get those bad evaluations on the base of cultural lack of cultural sensitivity, what does that mean for the future of their employment or their tenure? Mm-hmm. I see red flags on that also. And I just can't imagine Villanova doing something like that. But that's what they're doing.
And they're standing behind it. I mean, the administration is. In fact, what shocked me, Father, was that following that letter in the Wall Street Journal by these two professors at Villanova, another letter was published by two other professors, but co-signed by 100 professors supporting this idea of evaluations as we're talking about them now for cultural awareness. But can you imagine, like, okay, I guess math wouldn't be a big issue, but if you had a course in literature and you're speaking of certain books and what's being taught, or what about more directly teachings of the Catholic Church on
theology
and morality?
Yeah.
What in the
ethics?
How do you say God created man and woman, marriage is between, I mean, you're going to get some
a lot of trouble there. And I'm in ministry to those with same-sex attraction. And I try to frame it as much as I can. When I deal, I'm not a professor in the classroom. I'm dealing direct ministry with them, although I do speak to groups. I just did to a local parish on this subject matter. And I do try to frame it as love, and that's very important. That the way I put it is God loves all people. The Catholic Church accepts all people, but not all behaviors. Mm-hmm. But people have a hard time getting that distinction, I find. And they're equating the behavior with the core essence of the person. And I see that in this particular issue that you're bringing forth, that's going to be happening in the classroom and on the college campuses, and it is now as well. But you're absolutely correct in teaching theology and morality and philosophy from a Catholic standpoint. Mm-hmm. How are you going to keep that that authenticity of the faith without, you know, offending the cultural sensitivity of people out and about, you know, in society who are promoting this kind of thing? I think it's going to be very difficult.
I do. I think to myself, I don't even really understand exactly what it means for cultural awareness. I mean, if I was a professor, I'd feel so encumbered by something like that, and I'd be so self-reflective. I'm not sure I could do a good job actually being a teacher and knowing that your institution, which is a Catholic identity, is going to stand behind you. It's got to be very unsettling for Catholic professors who are, you know, living the faith.
I would imagine they have some sort of definition coming out in the documentation supporting this policy that would be some help. I mean, is it orientated toward ethnicity or racial balance, or is it going to get into
all those things? But then they have et cetera.
Et cetera.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, gee whiz.
So what's et cetera? I mean,
yeah.
This day and age, you know, they call somebody snowflake people, yeah, young people, saying, you know, I'm offended by this, I'm offended by that.
I'm really concerned about Catholic universities losing their Catholic identity. Mm-hmm. And I think we have to assert that. And we have to be clear about that and dig in our heels, so to speak, and stand up to these voices that want us to change our mission.
Yeah.
But we do have a mission of conveying the gospel according to the teachings of the Catholic faith. Mm-hmm. It's happening even in the elementary school level and in the high school level now, where there are challenges to the Catholic faith, even there, with admission of children, for instance, who are children of gay parents.
Yeah.
And what do you do about that? And the jury's sort of still out on that. That varies from diocese to diocese, parish to parish. I think generally they are admitted. From same-sex parents, students are admitted into the school in the elementary level, as long as the parents understand that the Catholic faith is going to be taught. I think that's satisfactory, but that's very important that the parents understand that the lesbian couple or the gay couple. That
why would you do that? Why would you set your child up for that? You know, except unless you're looking at a Catholic school for academic reasons, which
academic,
I know that's a motivation for
academic reasons,
people.
Sometimes to initiate a court case or advocacy reasons. But I find that, too, we have in my Catholic school, half of the student population is non-Catholic.
Yeah.
For the academics and for the morality, the environment, and, you know, to be a lady and teaching them to be a lady and a gentleman. And that, a lot of times that's it. Not so much the spirituality.
Yeah. Father, let's go on to this story, too. Georgia recently passed the heartbeat abortion bill, despite celebrity criticism. Oh, well, you can't do anything now anymore without celebrity criticism. So the Georgia legislature passed a controversial fetal heartbeat bill, which says basically that once a heartbeat is detected in utero, you can't have an abortion. So actress Alyssa Milano,
she was in Charmed. I know that
the
series
or something, whatever. She signed an open letter saying, you know what, if you don't, you know, throw this bill out, we're going to boycott you know, any film production done in Georgia, and that's going to be the end of that. It's like, well, you know, that's kind of bullying, in my opinion. Isn't
seems
it?
To me that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of legislature is being proposed more and more across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
These things are popping up, as I said earlier, I think in the hour, emboldened by the United States Supreme Court, the current makeup of the court. And there's heartbeat bills going on and that are being placed in state legislatures, as well as parental consent and notification laws. And there's a lot of opposition to them.
Yeah.
And there's going to be, these are real battles.
And it often comes in the way of financial punishments. I think I was reading that. I know there's two airports now. I think one is in Texas and one is in Buffalo. They're not allowing Chick-fil-A to operate in these because of their anti-LGBT. I mean, isn't that amazing? I tell everybody, go eat a Chick-fil-A, because basically the Cathys, the owner of the company, have been supportive of pro-family
very much
values.
So.
They don't open on Sundays.
Nope.
They have a great product. But, you know, this idea that in public places now, you're not going to allow them to do business.
And it's happening right here in our backyard in Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, at Stewardship, Stewardship, a Mission of Faith, that great property that has a Star Bar now.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And let me just put in a plug for Stewardship and Dave Abel, who's a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to his this week is 3-day extravaganzas there. There's been a couple of them on the property. Very faith-based. There's another one coming up in September. In any case, he does a lot of weddings there as well, and he's made it clear that he's not going to do quote-unquote gay weddings, and he's getting vicious opposition on that. And the media coverage is very negative.
Mm-hmm.
But he's standing his ground on it. And, you know, like the end of the Beatitudes in Gospel of Matthew says, and blessed are you when they revile you and insult you and utter every kind of bad thing against you for the sake of the gospel, unjustly so, be glad and rejoice, for your reward will be great in heaven, or words to that effect. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. But it's tough. it is really tough to go through this. Mm-hmm. And when you're a business,
yeah,
and you're experiencing this sort of withdrawal of support and bad publicity, and yeah, it is bullying. It's a cudgel. It's a bat, baseball bat over the head, so to speak. But this is martyrdom. It's sort of white martyrdom.
Yeah.
And Catholics and other believers have to stand their ground for life. And I just want to say again, go see the movie. If you have any doubts about this, see the movie Unplanned.
You know, it's interesting, too, because the actress that played Abby Johnson in the movie came out after this actress, Alyssa Milano, said, oh, stop, you know, sending any money to Florida or to Georgia for any film production, blah, blah, blah. She said she didn't call for that boycott. She said, and by the way, Unplanned earned $6.1 million.
Very well.
Placing
they did
it
very well.
Overall in the beginning.
Surprised a lot of people.
So she said, you know what? It's a very successful movie. And she said, we don't all feel this way. And good for her. But I think it's fair to say to Catholics and Christians all across this country, buckle up.
Absolutely. And I wish some in Hollywood, there are some practicing Catholics, believe it or not, mm-hmm. in Hollywood. And I wish that they would speak up. And Gary Sinise is one. Mm-hmm. And Mark Wahlberg is another. And who was the MC at the Papal Mass or mm-hmm. some of the Papal events mm-hmm. in Philadelphia.
John Voight, I think.
He might be. I know he's pretty
solid. He's conservative, yeah.
He's conservative. And I wish they would speak up a little bit about this.
But we have to scratch our heads to even come up with a couple of names. It's really a shame. And you know they're out there.
They are.
And I think they have to know that we're going to support them, that we're going to, you know, take opportunities like this, a radio program, talking to our family, friends, and neighbors to say, you know, it's really not fair to hold Christians to this kind of standard. You know,
it isn't fair. No.
So we need to make sure we do that. Father, this goes by too quickly, but I'm so glad you're going to join us next week, too, for it within the news.
Well,
so
thank you.
We invite all of our listeners to join us every Thursday at noon on AM 720 on Holy Family Radio for In the News. So thank you, Father, and I look forward
welcome.
To seeing and being with you next week.
God bless you, one and all listening out there. Listen again, please.